All praise belongs to Allah, the Most High. We thank him and we seek his aid and we seek his forgiveness. And we seek refuge with him from the evil of ourselves and from our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, then there's no one who can mislead him. And whoever Allah causes to go astray, then there's no one to guide him. And I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah who is unique and without partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his worshiper and his messenger. And may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family and his companions and those who follow them with good intentions until the day of judgment. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. Again, O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. And O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Rabb who created you from a single soul and from it created its mate. And from the two of them, he spread forth many men and women. Be careful of your duty to Allah, whom you demand your mutual rights, and be careful of your duty to the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is our Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and always speak the truth. He will cause your deeds to be beneficial, and he will forgive for you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, then he has truly achieved a tremendous accomplishment. For indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of all affairs are newly invented matters, which has no precedence in Islam. And indeed, all innovations are astray, and each astray is in the hellfire. O Allah, save us from it. O Allah, accept our dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. O you who have believed, eat from the good things which we have provided for you, and be grateful to Allah if it is indeed him that you worship. And when we look at this particular ayat, and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us to eat properly and to show gratitude for the sustenance that Allah has given us. And when we combine this ayat with the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Muslims should engage in balanced nutrition by filling our stomachs with one third food, one third water, and one third air, we see the practical application of the deen regarding healthy and balanced eating. And as Muslims, many of us do not heed this message. And we say if it's halal, it's allowed. We engage in gluttony. Or it maybe we may get the thirds mixed up. Is it one third or two thirds food or a drop of water? You know, and so my point is we are at the end of Ramadan. Allah, alhamdulillah, we have been allowed to see another Ramadan. And we don't want to use the ending of Ramadan as a means of engaging and overeating and gluttony. And there's a concept even talking about food can be an intoxicant. If you look at the program Weight Watchers, when they're very successful because they have a psychological component to their program because they teach people their relationship with food. And so, and you know, just like food, like breads can be broken down into something that's similar to alcohol. Once it's broken down in your body, you have basically a self-soothing effect. You can get intoxicated from food. And so we have to basically be able to recognize that. You know, in the field that I work in drug addiction, many instances, we call those processed addictions, which are non-chemical addictions. Because what happens is whether you're, you know, a lot of the young people get involved with gaming. Gaming can be a process addiction. You'll see people who cannot, they'll have an anxiety attack if they lose their phone. You know, the phone is in their face all the time. Process addiction. You have pornographies, process addictions, food, process addictions. And so what happens is your brain becomes almost like a steel or a manufacturer of intoxicants because Allah has put so many chemicals in us, the endorphins, it puts all these chemicals in our brain and body, and it's for us to allow us to appreciate his presence. When we look at the ocean, we get a certain, if we put a monitor, you know, on us, a spiritual monitor, we get a certain type of rush when we see the ocean or the mountains, or when we make Hajj for the first time and we see the Kaaba. We have a biochemical reaction, but a spiritual feeling. And so when we are eating food, we have to be careful with that. And again, because the big test for us was Ramadan. Allah says it's to teach us self-restraint. To teach us self-restraint, because we're supposed to use the energy, the psychic energy that we get from Ramadan. We're supposed to use that the rest of the 11 months. We get a month where we fill up our tank, you know, just like when you fill your car up or you charge your car up with electrical gas, then you drive the rest of the year. And so that's how we have to use it, not just to use it as a time just to lose weight, not just as a time, okay, we stop smoking during the day, but we're smoking at night. I remember when, I was working in Saudi Arabia, the man was, he was in the closet smoking, hiding. And I said, well, who are you hiding from? You know, we're fasting for Allah. You know, so the thing is that, you know, we have to recognize. My wife was saying to me one time, I had to put it in a meme for her. She said, well, people say they believe, you know, they believe in Allah, but do they believe Allah? And I said, oh, that's pretty profound. I like that. You almost steal that. You know, so the thing is that do we believe Allah? Do we believe we get the fasting for self-restraint? Do we believe in the hereafter? You have people who believe, well, we believe that there is a creator, but they don't believe that there's a hereafter. You know, I had to fire a couple recently because the man was trying to marry a woman who didn't believe in the hereafter. I said, well, she's not lawful to you, brother. You know, you are committing a grave sin. And, you know, I had to stop counseling, you know, stop them from counseling because I couldn't do premarital counseling. I couldn't honestly do that. So the thing is, do we believe Allah? Do we believe in the Quran? Do we believe in the hadith that the Prophet, peace be upon him, has left for us? And so we have to ask ourselves constantly. Was it Ibn Qutubi, the great scholar? He said that our desires, again, are like a big mountain in front of us that we have to climb over to get to Allah. We have to climb over that mountain to be able to get to Allah. And so we can't allow the trappings of the society to cause us to forget Allah. You know, especially post-Ramadan, you know, we have to use this time to basically develop healthier lifestyles. Healthier lifestyles, you know, getting back into exercising, you know, using self-care techniques that are readily available. You know, whatever you do, walking, whether you're running, you know, some people are into martial arts. You know, so those are some of the things that we have to use this time. Just like in the Christian community, they have the concept of a New Year's resolution. You know, we have to be able to, and then usually the week after the resolution, it's a wrap, you know. So, but we have to basically put a Ramadan resolution together so that, okay, what I learned about myself, I need to do more of this and less of that. I need to basically be away from these type of people, and I need to bring these other type of people around me. So we have to create a Ramadan resolution, brothers and sisters. You know, even, you know, we look at the whole benefit of meditation, and you have people say, well, no, that's from the Hindus and the Buddhists. But the Prophet ﷺ said that knowledge is the lost property of a Muslim. His to claim wherever he finds it, or whether they find it. So if there's some benefit in it, and there's been research on meditation, that there's great benefit when you're meditating, is you have physical benefits from the meditation. You know, I'm a practitioner of Tai Chi and Qigong, and when I was studying it, the teacher would try to make me do, it's called I Ching and some other things, and I'm like, no, I remember reading about divination in the Quran. I said, look, I'm here just for the Tai Chi and the Qigong. I don't want the religion. Because what happened in China and other places, that in order to gain their form of dawah, was in order for you, to get the martial art, you have to go to the Buddhist monastery. Or if you go, you go to the temples, you know, to be able to get the meditation and the yoga and all of that. But you can take the religiosity out of it and get the benefits of it. Just like there's a book that was written by a Muslim scholar called The Utility of Prayer. And in that book, it was written years ago, in that book he talks about the physical benefits of prayer. Just like, you know, when I'm making salat, every movement, I give it a breath from the Qigong. You know, so you're getting the physical benefits, but also he talked about the lubrication of the joints and the settling and how that minimizes the arthritis. He just talked about all of the physical benefits of prayer, not just counting the spiritual benefits you get from the hereafter, because again, each salat that you make, it's like you making a deposit in your 401k, your hereafter 401k. And then if you're making sunnahs, you get that, that's extra blessings as well. So we have to be of those to recognize that our deen is not just something just about rituals. Our deen is practical. It is a holistic deen. You know, research shows that deep breathing, again, exercises help have a healing impact on the brain. And again, you know, the Prophet ﷺ, he talked about breathing. Even when you're drinking water, he said, breathe three times outside the vessel in the course of a drink, and said, it is more thirst quenching, healthier, and more wholesome Anas radiallahu anhu said, so I also breathe three times in the course of a drink. Talked about the benefits of breathing. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, again, he used the term eating in a symbolic fashion in the area, in many areas of the Quran. And so we have to understand that eating is, again, is not just meant for food. We don't want to involve ourselves eating any type of negative energy, you know, and being around person, places, or things that can disturb our peace. These are some of the things I want to bring to you in post-Ramadan. You know, as Muslims, we have to strive to attain and maintain our peace of mind and body and spirit. And again, these are some of the things that we have to do so that we can be healthy. You know, it's not, you know, why get advanced age, but you're not able to basically function because of what you didn't do in your earlier years when the dementia starts to set in. You know, all dementia is traced with, again, they found it, you know, based on how your activity as well as diet, and it's also a genetic component. But what we do in our foundational years determines how we will spend our advanced years. I don't want to be 80 and 90 sitting around drooling in a nursing home. You know, I want to be, I don't know if you know the minister, it was Reverend Durley, you know, he, you know, I think he's almost 90, he's been very active. You know, and I remember interviewing C.T. Vivian, and he was in advanced years, very active. You know, and then there's scholars around the world, they in the Quran all day. You know, some of them are close to 100, very active. You know, so we have to basically be active and not passive. You know, so these are some of the things that we have to look at in order to, if we want to get advanced years and see our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, but to be able to remember them. You know, but we have to do that today. We have to stop the cigarettes, and we have to stop the, and specifically the young people, they're Muslims trying to legitimize marijuana smoking. You know, and then there was a Sheikh Yusuf Okrona, he has a saying, he said the only weed that people should be involved in is tajweed. You know, and so that's, you know, one of the things that we have to look at. And then the scholars say that THC is haram, that's from marijuana, but CBD oils are good for the anxiety. That's not the intoxicant. And so what people will, they'll conflate it because they'll smoke and they'll get, oh, their anxiety is relieved. But no, the CBD is doing that. The THC is getting you high, you know. And so as Muslims, we have to, you know, basically fight against that because there are many Muslims saying this stuff is allowed, you know. And so we have to, there's a lot of work that we all have to do specifically in this post-Ramadan. And may Allah, you know, allow us to continue to grow and, you know, and strengthen ourselves by exercise and also spiritual exercises by increasing our prayers and increasing our charity. You know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, while there's good in both of them. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له ملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. In closing, the Prophet, peace be upon him, I mean, he just did so many things for us. And if you look at his contemporaries, it's unparalleled. And he left lessons like, for instance, eat in moderation, eat slowly, participate in sports, you know, getting proper sleep, but also pray. Share food. He encouraged about fostering strong communities. What did he say about neighbors? He said, your neighbor is anybody 40 houses in any direction. That's your neighbor. So the Muslims' neighbors are everybody. You know, if we're 1.5 people on the planet, all of the earth are our neighbors. And then even how when the woman who used to basically harass him, and then one day she didn't harass him, he said, go check on my neighbor. Check on my neighbor, you know. And so that's how it was, fostering a strong community, fasting. And then you see the latest vogue in nutrition is intermittent fasting. I wonder where they got that from. Mm-hmm. You know, dental hygiene, when you look at the toothbrushing only became very prevalent in the West in the 20th century, you know, around the turn of the 20th century. You know, but we were using miswak over 1500, 1400 years ago, drinking water slowly. And then he also talked about mental health. You know, he recognized mental health. And then you look at Al-Andalus, there was some of the first psychiatric facilities were there in Al-Andalus in Muslim Spain. And so And again, I challenge anybody, you know, to speak against how Islam did not bring, for instance, Europe out of the Dark Ages or bring so many values to the planet. You know, and again, the prophet's contemporary did not promote all of this. You know, people were still not bathing and not and dying themselves in different parts of the world. So we have to recognize that we have a holistic deen, a complete way of life, and we have to value it. We have to value it. And again, if I've said anything that's inconsistent with what Allah has given to us and what the Prophet wasalam, teaches us, you know, again, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to do the work, because we see in the society that, you know, the society is just having so many different problems in regards to dealing with political issues, dealing with economic issues. Even in my own neighborhood, rents were going in some apartments for $600 one month, and people just slap a little paint on a facility or apartment building and they raise them up to $1,500, one bedroom apartment, you know. And so you have to understand that people who work in Atlanta can't afford to live in Atlanta. And so as Muslims, we have to bring the society back to their senses. You know, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said we should not touch a thing unless we seek to improve it. We should not touch a thing unless we seek to improve it. So if we're touching the society, you know, we need to start to help, you know, not only develop people spiritually, we have to develop them mentally and economically and socially, you know, and that's what, as Muslims, you know, we have to do the work and not just, you know, stay in the masjid. You know, if we're just staying in the masjid, what's the point? The masjid is your fueling station. But you fill up and then you go out and make and effectuate a change on the planet. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته والذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تهمنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Our Lord, take us not to task if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden such as you did lay on those who have gone before us. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden which we do not have the power to bear. And overlook our faults and forgive us and have mercy on us. You are our protector and grant us the victory over those who disbelieve.